Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Brothers, can you bring me down just a little bit? Just a little bit hot up here. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Is anyone excited to be in church today? Oh, if you came today, you came for the right at the right time, for the right purpose. Praise the Lord. You say, well, how do you know my purpose? I don't know, but you're here, so that's all that matters to me. Praise God. I know God's is doing great things, and he's doing more so. Amen. And I just get excited for it every week. I get excited every time I get to minister the word. You know, how many know that you don't get it just once? You don't get it by hearing it once. You don't get it because you were there, you know, because you made it to church three times last year. Doesn't mean that you got it. Hallelujah. You need to keep coming back. Amen. And that's my family got hold of this years ago, and we continue to come back to church. You think that I just come here because it's my job, but that couldn't be more further from the truth. I come here because God's doing a wonderful work here, and I want to be part of it. Amen. We do this because God is doing a wonderful work here, and we want to be part of it. And I knew this, that when I lived in the world, I couldn't be part of it out there. Hallelujah. I could only be part of it while I was present. Amen. And so I know, you know, my wife, actually her I almost wanted to let her just go ahead and start preaching when she was just doing announcements, because even the announcements, whoo, they had some jack on them, praise the Lord. And they were good, and there's a lot of stuff to be had in there, amen. You know, and there's never, you know, you should never come here and feel condemnation. You know, if you're convicted by something, well, that's something different. But you shouldn't feel condemnation. You just always endeavor. You know, church is always to make us go higher and to take us higher. And so if it steps on our toes a little bit, we just say, ouch, hallelujah, and we move on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ouch, hallelujah. We learned that years ago. And sometimes, you know, the preacher will say something, you're like, ooh, that hurt. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's the word. And we're going on with God because we want everything he has. Amen. You know, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Praise the Lord. We like to say faith comes by hearing, and hearing, not heard. It doesn't say that faith comes by heard. It comes by hearing. And if you're going to live in this world, you definitely nowadays, you need some faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, my wife's a school teacher. A lot of stuff happening in schools, isn't there? So we see a lot of stuff that shouldn't be happening in schools. Well, praise the Lord. That's the truth. Not praising the Lord for it. Praise the Lord because he's good. But you know, it matters if you got faith, because my wife says, not my school. Hallelujah. Ain't going to happen to me and my kids around my classroom. Amen. And we just, you know, we have to live in such a way. We have to live in a way where we're going to live into the protection of God. Amen. And faith, if faith comes by hearing and hearing, then we need to hear and hear. So we've heard. And then we got full of it, because when the trial comes against you, which is going to happen, you know, I always get a kick out of Christians that go through trial, and then they wonder, like, what? You know, people in the world, they'll go through trial, then they come to church, and they try to find a fix. But Christians go through trial, then they come to church and try to find a fix. That shouldn't be the way it is. Christians just got to come to renew their mind and to keep their faith built up. But a Christian going through trial should be totally different than the world. But isn't it a sad thing that when Christians go through trial, it looks just like the world? Actually, you know, when Christians do a lot of things, it looks just like the world. And that's why that Christians fail. They don't fail because God's word fails. They fail because they don't continue in it. Amen? Praise the Lord. You got to continue in God's word. You can't just start and then stop. You can't just do it when it's convenient. You can't just decide. You know, the Bible says be doers of the word, otherwise you deceive yourselves. And we don't want to deceive ourselves, do we? Amen? We don't want to deceive people. We want to be right where we were supposed to be in the plan of God, smack dab in the middle, in the blessings of the Lord, walking out all he has for us, right? Amen. That's not bad. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. It takes us higher. I like being happy. I don't know about you, but I've never been so happy. And I love being happy. And I found that in the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. And maybe you didn't. Maybe you found happiness elsewhere. But that happiness will be fleeting. It won't last, because it just can't. Amen. The Bible says that sin is enjoyable for a time. But sooner or later, you're going to pay up. You're gonna pay the price, and it isn't God punishing you when you pay the price. What it is you are paying the price for the things that you've done. Yeah. Amen. A lot of people don't like to hear that, and especially in today's society, it's not a popular thing to say, listen, when you do things a certain way, you will have consequences to them. That's all there is to it. If you rob a bank, you're probably gonna get arrested. If you kill somebody, probably going to get arrested. It's just the way that it is. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Glad you're excited about that. But today we got a good message. The Lord has been dealing with me for a while in preaching this. And this message, I'm excited to preach because of how it came about. Just, you know, whenever the Lord brings, you know I say that kind of stuff a lot, but you understand it's supernatural when the Lord deals with me about what to preach. And I just love it. I just love it when he deals with me that way. It's fun. Amen? It makes life more fun. When you know that you're hearing from God, glory to God, there ain't nothing better. Praise the Lord. When the creator of the universe will talk to you. Amen. And he will talk to you, but he's been talking to me. Amen. And I'm excited for it. Today's message is called The Lord Who Heals. Praise the Lord. The Lord Who Heals. And I sense it sometimes, and I always endeavor to be led by the Spirit of God and what I preach. I never preach anything just because, or at least I don't think so, that just because I want to. But you know, the message on healing, specifically, we touch on healing a lot, but specifically teach on healing, something that I really, really just have been wanting to do and desiring to do for a long time. And you know, we're not going to cover it all today. There are many, many, many scriptures. Anything that we preach in this church, there's so many scriptures to back it up, it's unreal. Like, we're not just picking one scripture randomly out of anywhere. We are preaching out of an abundance of scriptures. Most of the subjects that we could preach, we could spend months or weeks and months on and never touch the same scripture twice. You understand? And so that we understand that this is the will of the Lord. The Lord who heals. And you're going to get here in a minute why I named the message that. But turn with me to Exodus 3. We're going to start in verse 13. Praise God. That's the second book of the Bible, right? Praise the Lord. So it's all the way back towards the beginning. Hallelujah. The Lord who heals. Exodus 3:13. I got it here. We're going to read through verse 15. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" Praise the Lord. Now God was sending Moses to the children of Israel. They were in captivity in Egypt. He was about ready to do something, right? He wanted to lead those children. He wanted to lead his children out of captivity because God is not one that likes his children to be in bondage. Amen? And so we understand this. So Moses is saying, you know, this is Moses is encountering with God. Moses is saying, what am I going to even tell these people? Because they don't know Moses, really. They don't know, you know what I mean? What am I going to say to them? And He goes on to say, the God of your father, verse 14, yeah. And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Amen. Moreover, God said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'The Lord, your God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations.'" Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I am. The word I am means to exist or to be. Hallelujah. That's what, or become. That's what it is. The Lord was saying to Moses, "I am who I am. I am the one who exists. I am the self-existing one. I am the one who exists, and I am the one who becomes whatever." Essentially, we find this throughout Scripture. This is in the beginning of Scripture, but I am the one who becomes whatever is needed. I am the one who is there. I'm the one. God isn't. See, we always try to put God in a box. Who is God and what does God look like? But God is everywhere. The Bible tells us that He is. What's that word? He is. Omnipresent. He is everywhere, all the time. He's everything. God is there. He's in the details. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us, I know I quote this a lot, but in the beginning of Romans, it tells us that that God, what can be known of God can be seen in his creation. Every attribute of God can be found in his creation. Amen? I am who I am, to be or become. Praise the Lord. You know, when he says in verse 15, when he says that this is my memorial to all generations, this is something that we need to consider as well, because this is an important part of the whole equation. A memorial Memorial is something that you think of. When you have a memorial, you know, we have graveyards and stuff like that. It's our most commonly understood memorials. And, you know, there's always a little something generally about on there about the person who is there. And it's and a lot of times if you go through these cemeteries, you know, there's plenty of memorials that nobody even knows who they were anymore. The only thing that remains of these people at all is that little marker that's there. But God says that his name is his memorial, who he is, the self-existing one. That is who he is for all of eternity. That's who he's going to be to all people, praise the Lord. Let me read that again. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord your God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is a memorial. This is my memorial to all generations, praise the Lord. That word God is the word Jehovah. We understand that. We've heard the word before, Jehovah. But that's who he is, Jehovah, the self-existing one. The one who exists. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now you're in Exodus 3. I want you to go down a little bit further to Exodus 15. We're going to flip a couple pages and go to verse 26. Hallelujah. Remember, we're talking about the Lord who heals. Amen? 15:26. Praise the Lord. It starts off here. It says, and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God. What does it say? If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God. Let me put that in a little plainer English. If you listen to what he says. If you do what he says. If you diligently heed. Listen, God always puts the ball in our court. He said, I'm going to give you every reason, I'm going to give you every opportunity, I'm going to give you all that you need, but I'm going to put the choice in your court. If you heed, if you diligently heed, not just you heed. See, some people just heed, some people just listen. Some people come to church and just listen. Some people diligently listen. Some people get on the edge of their seats and they're like, you know, I need to hear this. Some people just come in and say, I'll hear it. But then there's some people that diligently listen. And if you diligently listen, What usually happens when you diligently listen? It means that there's an action that comes with it. If you don't act upon the word, if you don't do what the word says, you can't have what the word has given you. You can't have what God has given you. You can't have what God gives you apart from action. We know this from salvation all the way up to everything else. You can't receive salvation. You can sit in church all your life and not go to heaven. How? Because if you never receive Jesus, you can't go to heaven. You have to receive Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You have to do that. You can't go to heaven any other way. God's told us that. You don't get to go to heaven just from being a good person or going to church, and that's how a lot of people are deceived. But a lot of people are deceived because they'll sit in church, they'll hear the word, they won't do it, and they think, well, why am I not getting this? Well, it must not be God's will. And so they make up a whole bunch of traditions. They'll make up a whole bunch of lies. They'll make up a whole bunch of things to back what their experience is because they fail to do the word. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, oh glory, hallelujah, do what's right in his sight. So you got to hear the word. Then you got to diligently hear the word. Diligently gives you a sense of urgency. You know, like people come to church casually, they're people that don't, they're not diligently heeding the word. There are people, if you can take church or leave it, you don't diligently hear the word. And you need to get that changed because you can't experience what God has for you until you make it of some kind of importance in your life. There's people that are just like, well, you know, I'll go if we can or if we can't. But no, that's not the way the church was set up. Church was meant to save our lives. God gave us church to carry on the tradition that Jesus started. Hallelujah. And yet Christians all the time, they're rejected as something that isn't important. And I'm not just talking about coming. I'm talking about how you come. Yes. If you come to church expecting, or do you come to church expecting, or do you come to receive, or do you come to church expecting to not receive? Right. Some people go, well, maybe I'll get help, or maybe I won't. Well, if that's the way you think, you won't get it. That's why we talk about coming expecting. I don't come to church with the expectation that I'm not going to leave here blessed. You know what? I never leave church not blessed. You know what I mean? Like there's always something I take away from it. I know there's always things that are imparted to me, even when I'm preaching the message. Why? Because I don't preach according to man's ideas or man's will. I preach according to the Spirit. Amen? And if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, Give ear, and he explains it. Give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes. I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Amen. I am the Lord who heals you. That right there, it translated from the original Hebrew, means Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you. Now, we've talked before that God has many names. He has many names throughout the Bible, which he calls himself. This is one of God's names. We saw in the beginning, he called himself, I am God. I am the self-existent one, praise the Lord. Now we see that he's calling himself Jehovah Rapha. He's getting more specific, amen? Jehovah, if you look that word up, is the proper name of the one true God. It means the existing one. His name is the existing, here he's saying, and Rapha means the one who heals you. So essentially what he's saying is his name is the existing one who heals, the one who becomes your healer. Hallelujah. That's who God is. But notice that it's tied to something, isn't it? It's not just like I'm just going to randomly heal whoever I want. No, when God isn't random. Who he is, who he is. I am who I am. That's what he said, right? I am who I am. Well, who I am. Why did he say that? Because I don't just change. You know, there used to be a time, and see, a lot of this concept is hard for us to understand in today's society because so many people today, their words don't mean anything. People will, very commonly, people will say things and they'll turn around and do the other. That's, oh yeah, I'll serve there, but then they don't. Praise the Lord. They'll say, oh yeah, I'll do this or I'll do that, and then they won't. Praise the Lord. Praise God. That's the way it works. Oh, I'll be there, and then they never show up. Or I'll be there at this time, and they don't show up until 10, 20 minutes later. Praise the Lord. Without a phone call or anything. I can't even be a minute late and not be embarrassed by it. Praise the Lord. I was meeting my brother Ted here for lunch or something, and we were it was Mike. That's who it was. It was Mike. It was this week, wasn't it? Hallelujah. That was Tuesday. I was meeting Mike for lunch, and I was coming from Jamestown, all the way from way up at the other end of the lake. Hallelujah. And I was coming. The weather was really bad that day, and I said I was pushing it. You know, I thought I had more than enough time, but because the traffic was slow and everything, the snow was coming down and all that stuff, I couldn't get there, and I was pushing it. I was going to be, like, I seriously was getting there 30 seconds late, and it was bothering me. It was bothering me because I didn't know if I could just call. I didn't know if he had a cell phone or whatever, but I like to make sure that I'm on time. Amen. It's important. Why? Don't you want God on time? Yeah. I mean, see, a lot of people, they want stuff from other people, but they want pastor to be there whenever they need him. Praise the Lord. But they're not there whenever the pastor needs them. Well, how about that? Hallelujah. Some people think, praise the Lord. Some people think that the pastor is there just, I'm going to go on a little soapbox here, but they just think that the pastor is there just for their whims or whenever they want to, and then I should conform my schedule around yours. Well, you pastor two churches, have a family and all this other stuff too. No, people will make appointments with doctors and they will be sure to be there at the appointed time. But then they want everybody else. They want people like a pastor because that's the way, you know, it's just gotten. And people, like, they just take that stuff for granted. But see, that's not the way that we operate. Amen. And we do that on purpose. I hope I'm not stepping on anyone's toes. Maybe I do hope. Praise the Lord. But you understand, like, but, you know, people want God to be there. But then they won't show up for God. They want God to be there, but they never want to do anything that he's asked them to do. They want God to be there to heal them. They want God to set them free. But where were they when it was time to take up the offering? Where were they when it was time to volunteer for something? Where were they when it was time to bring their supply to church? Praise the Lord. Listen, if you don't come to church, don't expect God to do things for you. I'm going to tell you right now, you are deceived. Deceived. God will not do things for you because you're doing the very, very thing that he said not to do. You can't do it. That's why. Why do you mean people like, well, the pastor always talks about people being in church or not being in church. The reason we do it is we know what happens when people don't. We're trying to stop the counseling appointments when your life is falling apart because you're not doing the word. Listen, it's important. I don't do this because it's some way of making a lot of money or something like that. I don't do this because it's exalted me somehow. I do this because I know the power of God. And if people haven't learned that yet about church, about this church and why we do the things, well, shame on you. That's not my fault. We preach the same thing and we preach it steadily. Hallelujah. We want people to hear the word, because when people hear the word and they get the word in them and they start doing the it changes their lives. They go from people that are squirrely, they go from people who can't even barely exist, hallelujah, and they become people who can actually do something, be effective, and they walk in the power and the blessing of God. Praise the Lord. It blesses me when I see the people in my church blessed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, we lived in a house that we didn't want to live in for years. I didn't want to live in for years. And I used to complain about it a lot. But you know something? Living in that house put me in the place. I didn't like living in the town. I wanted to get out of there. I wanted to get out in the country. That was always my goal. I didn't want to live in town anymore. And living in that house put me in the place, my wife and I, in the place of reaching one of our precious families in the church. Hallelujah. And when my wife and I talk about this, we see how far they've come and how much the Lord is blessing them. John and Liz were talking about. And we see how much the Lord is blessing them and how they've connected to the Word. And it would have never happened had we not moved in there. We would never have known them. You know what I'm saying? So praise God. I don't know how I got on that. But do you know how I got on that? I was thinking something, but well, praise God for it. But we got to listen to God. We got to do what he has us to do. Amen. We have to understand that God is moving us into a place of blessing, but we have to be willing to go with it. And we can't be Christian. Listen, this is not, I don't play church. And this is why we're not going to have a church of 10,000 people, because people aren't going to like the message I always preach. The message I preach is sometimes going to be hard. Sometimes it's going to step on your toes. Sometimes it's going to get in your face. But you know what? I would rather get in your face here and have you at least be able to live a life that's worthy of living than to go out there and not hear it, or to go somewhere and have it patty caked and babied and never have what God has for you. Because there is a reason that the church does not walk in the blessings of God, and it isn't because God doesn't want them to have. It's because they're not doing the things that God, the very things God said to do. He said, if you diligently listen to my voice, amen? Praise God. Let me go back there. What does it say? If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. Our goal in life should be to do what God wants us to do. Listen, it is not hard to find your place in church. What I mean by find your place in church, I mean find what God wants you to do there. God has called us together as a body. This is another thing we won't teach, is this is not a church of rogue people. If you're a rogue person, you will either get connected or you will get out, because you won't be comfortable here. Because church was not meant for us to just come be part of our life one day a week for an hour, and then the rest of the week we go off and forget about it. That's not what church was meant for. This church became our lives because we understood. It wasn't because we became pastors. Far before we became pastors, church became our lives. But this is why the Lord does things in us too, amen? This is why we're blessed. Not because we're so smart or so wonderful or anything like that, just because we took off after it. We started obeying the voice of the Lord, amen? Started diligently heeding the voice of the Lord. Praise God. We even got to the point where we would plan our vacations around special church services. And I don't just mean about, you know, Sunday to Sunday. I'm talking about we would go away on vacation just so we could go see a minister. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Why? Because we understand the connection. When you understand that there's life there. There is, you know, somehow people have got this idea that church somehow is not a fun thing or not an enjoyable thing. Well, you have no idea. Well, the blessing of the Lord is found right here. It's connected to here. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. He's doing things in us here. And so we have to hear his voice. If we want the Lord who heals, then we have to be connected. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. You know, the Bible talks about it being a covenant with God, us being in covenant with God. How can you be covenant? You know, another covenant is a husband and wife. Could you be in covenant if the wife is over here and the husband's over here? If they're doing two totally different, if you live two totally different lives, you're not in any kind of covenant. How much joy is it if you never, we get busy sometimes because of the ministry and things like that. But my wife and I are always desiring to be with each other. Praise the Lord. That's an important thing for a husband and wife. That's what covenant is. Well, if you can't understand that there, how are you going to understand that? How are you going to understand that with God? God wants our relationship with him to be constant. Not just when we feel like it. We should constantly be before the Lord. Amen? And then that's how his power works in us. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And we all know Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now let's go back to what we thought heard in the first scripture we went to. I am the I am. I am the one who is. I am the existent one. Yeah. This is what this is talking about. Not just believing that God exists. The Bible tells us again that the demons believe that God exists. It's not enough to believe that God exists, but that he is who he says he is. It is important to believe that God is who he says he is. This is what faith is. Believing God is who he says he is. I am the I am. I am the one who is existing. I'm the one who does exactly what I say that I do. Amen? Like, oh, I know one thing I was going down and I didn't get to. Used to be a time in back in these days, it was that way, that a person's word meant everything. And so to the point where people's names often reflected either who they were or what they did. We don't get that anymore. We just inherited names and we don't even, half the time, don't even know what they mean. Yeah. Amen? We got names and people name people things and don't even think about it. But back then it was important. They actually were named according to who they were or what they did or what they wanted to see in their lives. Amen? See, God knew this all the time. So when God names something, it's very, very important. When he says, I am the Lord who heals, that's very big to God. That's not a casual statement. That's not saying, oh, I'm the Lord that heals once in a while and you just, you know. No, that's a huge thing. He's saying this is the very embodiment of who I am. This describes, and to God, the name is the descriptive personality of the person. Amen? When God says this is who I am, that's who he is through and through. Praise God. Hallelujah. And don't we see this, though, in Jesus' life? What did Jesus do? Acts 10:38 tells us that Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. That's what Jesus did. When anybody talks about Jesus and thinks about Jesus, what was he doing? He was laying hands on people and healing them. He was spitting in people's faces and healing them. You know what I'm saying? He was raising the dead from the dead, healing them. That's what Jesus did, right? Praise the Lord for it. That's pretty exciting. That's what Jesus did. All the things that talked about Jesus, we told him in the Old Testament, they pointed to this is what he would do. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. I only do what I see the Father do. He said, everything I say, I do from what I hear from the Lord, and that's what I do. What you see me do, that's what I see the Father do. So the God, the one that he said he heals, and then Jesus said he's a healer, and he's like, now I'm God here on the earth, and guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to heal. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So what does that tell us about God? Why do people miss this? Why do so many in the religious circles, why do they miss this? How do they put God aside and say, God doesn't want to heal you? How can they dare say, when God says, I am the Lord who heals you, how can these religious gurus, how can all these people who know so much about God and preach the Bible and stand in churches and all this stuff, how can they sit there and say that God wants you sick? How can they do this? It's evil. It's pure evil for someone to say God is something that he's not. Actually, to say that he is the opposite of the thing that very thing he said he is. Jesus said, I do what I see the Father do. I am the embodiment of what God is. I am God in the flesh here on earth doing the will of my Father. I do the will of my Father in heaven. There was another place he said. What did Jesus do? He went about setting people free. He went about healing people. He went about helping people. Hallelujah. This is what God does. So how can you believe God is the one who gives and takes away from you? How can you believe that God is the one that wants you ill? How can you believe God is the one who gives death? God doesn't take anyone home. Yeah. He receives them into their home if a saint dies. And a saint is not somebody who is on the wall of a Catholic church. Praise the Lord for Catholics. But that's not what a saint is. Hallelujah. A saint is somebody who has been born again, accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. The Bible tells us this. This is what a saint is. It's somebody who did a miracle 10 years after they died. That's not what a saint is. A saint is a person who is born again, believes in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That is a saint. When a saint dies and they go to heaven, God didn't kill them. He didn't take their life. Just because we have songs that say that, you know, I remember the song I used to like. I'm not going to say the name of the band. It's an old-time song, but he said, only God has a right to decide who's to live and to die. And that's just something that's based in false religion. That's not the God of the Bible. God does not kill anybody. I said, God does not kill anybody. if you want to get technical, even when you go to the Old Testament and you see where punishment is being poured out on people that weren't his people, by the way. But like in the Passover, we're in that season, right? With the Passover, where the Spirit went in and took all the lives of all the firstborn. You remember that? Probably, maybe not, I don't know. But you understand, there's an angel of the Lord that does that. Even God himself doesn't do it. Hallelujah. Do you know that God, when he wanted to build his temple and do mighty things with that, he couldn't have David do it because David was a man of war. And he was a man of war under God's direction because he had to do certain things for Israel. But because he had shed so much blood, God couldn't use him to do those other things. So he had to use his son. Isn't that interesting? See, because God is not the one who kills. He's not the one who takes away. But God will. His word tells us this. You know what the funniest thing is? I can preach like this. I can show people the scripture. And there's religious people that still get bothered by it. Yeah. Why? Because their religion taught them else. Yeah. Something else. Have your religion then. I'm going to have God. I don't care about religion. I care about God. Amen. I care about what his word says. And so if some guy is up there talking about stuff that isn't the word of God, I don't care. I don't want to hear it. Because it's no better for you than anything that the devil would give you. It's the same garbage. If you're eating garbage, it doesn't matter if one servant or another servant it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What if, even if a butler came up to you and handed you a rotten piece of meat. Guy dressed in a nice tux, he's got the tails, right? Praise the Lord. He's looking all fancy, and he comes up with this on a silver platter, and he puts it down in front of you, and there's maggots all over it. You going to bite into that thing? Do you know how many Christians bite into maggot-filled meat all the time? And just because some preacher says it? Just because somebody who went to some cemetery somewhere said it? They'll gobble it up and eat it down? But praise the Lord, you preach the word. They say, well, I don't know about all that. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. Sorry for the description, but sometimes you got to, yeah. What did you get in church today? I don't know, he's talking about maggot-filled meat. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, because for he comes to God must believe that he is. You see how these scriptures connect? Listen, we use a lot of these scriptures often, but see, this is the thing. We go to the scriptures and we see how they connect here and there and back and forth, and things start making sense. See, this is how you interpret the scripture. You can understand scripture when you take all the scripture together and you start seeing it. Now, this is what he means by they must believe that God is. Because if you understand that God is the existing one, the one who exists, praise God, hallelujah. Glory to God. Time's a ticking. But then what does it say at the end of Hebrews 11:6? I got to say this again, and again, I know we've been here, but I don't ever get sick of reading stuff like God is a rewarder. That doesn't ever make me unhappy to hear that. Hey, you preach this every week, Pastor. Hallelujah. I want to hear how God's a rewarder, amen? And that he is a rewarder of who? Everybody, right? Everybody and no, he's a rewarder of those who do something. Those who diligently, that word diligent again, diligently seek him. Praise God. Praise God. So if he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, he is not a rewarder of those who don't diligently seek him. See, if one side is true, then the reverse is also true. But people don't like to hear that. Well, maybe, you know, well, praise God. I'm not talking about living in perfection. I'm talking about living with a heart after God. That's not perfection. That's just being right. I mean, how can people in church be set free? I don't know. I've never understood this. I have seen marriages in the family churches restored. I have seen people healed in the family churches. And then I've seen them, just after they get what they've needed, turn around and walk out on God like it didn't mean anything. Yeah, I've seen this time. So we've had close friends in the family churches who turned around and walked out on God because one thing didn't look the way that they thought to. And after you actually did some research, you found out it was because they didn't do the Word of God anyways. They weren't even doing the basic things in the Word of God. How can people sit there and hear these things over and over and over and see these miracles and see lives change? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know. It perplexes me. I was thankful. You know, the Bible says that he who's forgiven much loves much. Why do I preach the word today? Because I was thankful. I love much. Because it means something to me that God saved my sorry butt. Praise the Lord. You know, I've talked so many times about using toilets or hugging toilets that I wouldn't even use today. It's a big thing to me that God's delivered me from that. Praise the Lord. I would party and sleep and pass out in apartments that I wouldn't even want to walk into. That I'd walk in today and I'd start itching and feeling all dirty because they're nasty, disgusting places that no human should live. Yeah, absolutely. You turn to the kind of place where you turn on the light and about 1,000 different things run in 1,000 different directions. You know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. That's the kind of places that I used to frequent. That's what I used to. I'm glad that I'm delivered from that. When God delivered me from that, you know what? It changed my life. Made me go on a different path. Made me think a little bit differently. Made me see things a little bit differently. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Matthew 9. Be excited for what God's doing. Don't get sad about it. Only people who get sad, praise the Lord. You know that saying, the stuck pig squeals the loudest? Yeah. Amen. Only person that gets sad at the time, gets mad at the time that the preacher is talking about tithes and offerings is the one who isn't giving tithes and offerings. That's the truth. Amen. How do I know that? Because I know a lot of people give tithes and offerings and they hoot and holler when they do it because they know what God's doing. When the preacher talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit, that's somebody who understands. Hallelujah. When somebody gets excited about that, it's a wonderful thing. It's a scriptural thing. Jesus himself gave it to us, and yet people question it all the time. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew 9:18. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to read through verse 29. Better get moving. The God, the Lord who heals you. Matthew 9:18. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came, worshipped him, saying, "My daughter has just died. But come and lay your hand on her and she will live." That's pretty bold. Yeah. How many people do you know when somebody has just died go to the religious leader of the time and say, "Hey, come lay hands on them, get them to live again." No, most people just start making the funeral plans instantly. Yeah. See, there's a difference in the faith here. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Now listen, I am not saying that everybody who dies are necessarily going to get raised again to life. Right. There's things that have to be understood here, but we're seeing the will of God, and that's what I want to focus on. Verse 19. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Jesus didn't rebuke him, saying, "Oh, that's impossible. Right. Don't you know why I'm here?" No, that's what he rose and followed him. And suddenly, as he's going there, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If I only may touch his garment, I shall be made well." Yeah. But Jesus turned around and when he saw her, said, "Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well." Notice what he said there. He didn't say the power of my God has made you well. He didn't say the power that rests on me has made you well. He didn't say that because I am the Son of God and you touch me, you have been made well. What does he say? What did he say? Your faith has made you well. Your faith is what you believe in God. Go back to Hebrews 11:6. Do you believe God is healer? Do you believe God is? If you do, then your outcome is going to be a lot different. Praise the Lord. When Jesus came and the woman was made well from that hour. I love that too because saying from that hour lets us know it didn't say instantly, did it? Oh. See, because what happens a lot of times is people don't see the healing instantly and they say, "Well, this must not work." Because that's what they're used to. They're used to just living in the flesh, and so they have what the flesh gives them. Amen? When Jesus came to the ruler's house, because he continued on, and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, they were preparing for funeral, right? He said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. Wouldn't they do that? Isn't that what would happen today? If a pastor walked into a hospital room, so-and-so, Joe Bob just died, he just passed. They say, "Make room, he's just sleeping." Wouldn't they ridicule you? You see what great faith does? Great faith, oh man, great faith is not moved by natural circumstances. Great faith doesn't care about how it looks. It doesn't care how it looks. Folks, this word is either true or it's not. Because I just sensed something in here and I'm going to correct it right now. This word is either true or not. And if this isn't true, if this isn't true for us, and if this isn't still true today, you might as well go to the Moose Club because you're going to get more out of it than you are here. Because if this ain't true, none of it's true. I said none of it's true. If this ain't true, none of it's true. Consider what you believe and consider what you believe on. Praise the Lord. There is not many ways to God. There is one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And that doesn't mean just to go to heaven. That means to go to heaven. It means to get anything you want. It's all through Jesus. Praise the Lord. And he said to him, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed. And this next verse is very important. But when the crowd was put outside, He went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. Notice that the crowd was put outside. See, the Bible doesn't give us these details because it wasn't important. The Bible tells us that it was by faith that the other one was made well. By faith, this one was going to be made well. So what was Jesus doing? He was taking the faith out of the room and saying, see, you can't be in here. Because without faith, in a place of lack of faith, nothing of God is going to happen. God can't do anything. God can't move in lack of faith. The Bible tells us this, not just here. I mean, how many times have we preached this kind of stuff? When we preach about faith, we talk about if you want to move mountains, Jesus said you have to believe. You have to have faith when you say it. And he said, then you move the mountain. God said this. Jesus himself said this. Do you know what's so funny? Praise the Lord. How far can I go with this, Lord? Praise the Lord. There will be people. There are people that will sit in churches, and they will hear messages like this. They will hear the preacher preaching out of the word, but because of what they think or because what they've always been taught, that's what they're going to hold on to. And I'm correcting some garbage in here right now, too. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because it's what you've been taught, and it wasn't taught out of the word, but because it was always taught to you, that's what you want to hold on to. You won't receive the word of God, and that's why you won't receive from God. If you want to receive from God, you will accept the word of God as it's being taught. Because I am reading verbatim right out of the word. Jesus said this. This is not the only place where this account is given. Jesus had to get faith out of there. The Bible tells us that when Jesus went to his old hometown, he could do no mighty work because they didn't believe who he was. If you don't believe, you cannot receive. If you don't believe, you can't receive anything from God. Let not that man suppose he will receive anything from God. That the one who doubts, praise the Lord, that's James 1 and verse 5, 6 in that area, praise the Lord. He will receive nothing from the Lord because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, tossed to and fro. Praise the Lord. Yeah, he's double-minded, unstable in all his ways. The one who does not believe. Who does not believe what? The word of God. Praise the Lord. You got to put the lack of faith out. You got to push it out of the room. Get it away. And they ridiculed him. Praise the Lord. But when the crowd arose, or when the crowd was put out, he went in, took her by the hand, and the girl arose. Praise the Lord. And I was going to read through verse 29, yeah, because I didn't want to stop there. And the report of this went into all the land. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him. Look at this, one right after another, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. You know, the blind men came to him. You see that the blind men came to him. God wasn't going to them. He was walking around. The people that needed him were coming to him. Hallelujah. That should teach us something, folks. When you need something from God, you need to come to him. Well, praise the Lord. Saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind man came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Look, do you notice that Jesus always spoke before he did something? Do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to my great faith and my great ability, let it be done unto you. According to your faith, let it be to you. According to what you believe of God, let it be unto you. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. If you don't go to church, if you don't surround yourself with faith, you won't ever grow in faith and you won't be able to believe God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's so good right there. I don't care. According to your faith, let it be unto you. Turn with me to Luke 17, 11. Praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 17, 11. I'm going to tell you two quick stories. Can I tell you two quick stories? So my daughter, I told this last night too. My daughter, when we were, when she was little, just a toddler, just barely able to sit up by herself, I was sitting in a chair in the living room and she was sitting on the floor. And she just kind of toppled over, you know, as toddlers do for no reason. You know, it doesn't make any sense. They just, boop. They're sitting up. Now they're sitting over. They're laying over. Hallelujah. But that's what she did. And when she went, you know, I just, as a kind of a knee-jerk reaction, I just grabbed her like that. I grabbed her by the arm. And when I did, something happened in her shoulder. And all of a sudden, she started just screaming in pain. I mean, just blood screaming. Like, just, it was terrible. It was, and I felt awful. Of course, she's screaming so loud. Of course, we find out later this is a common injury for toddlers or infants. But she was screaming, and for 2 hours straight, she was just screaming, and she couldn't lift her arm. You could tell she was like babying it. She wouldn't lift it up or anything. You know, she'd keep it like this, and it was just a few minutes after that my wife got home, and she had been out grocery shopping. It doesn't matter, but. She got home, and I said, you know, I think we need to take her down to the emergency room and get her checked out because she was so upset. Remember how upset she was? And so we took her down there. She cried the whole way down there, and she was crying the whole time. I mean, she didn't let up at all. And we were down there, and I thank God for being taught right. But we were down in the emergency room, and we're having her checked out. You know, it's always wisdom to go to the emergency room. Talk about God being a healer doesn't mean that you don't go to the doctors and stuff like that. That's just stupidity. But so anyway, you use your faith with the natural things that we have. Amen. Praise God. And so anyways, we're down there in the emergency room, and the doctors had come in. They were going to take her for an X-ray and stuff like that. But we had some time there waiting, and she was still crying and stuff. So my wife and I. It just occurred to me, and just thank God for our wonderful teaching, but it just occurred to me to just start praising God. Because, you know, we've taught this here before about the power being in the praise and all this stuff. So we thank God for our healing. We just started praising the Lord. Lord, we praise you for a healing. Praise you for a healing. You know, and then all of a sudden, we did it for a few minutes, and then all of a sudden, my daughter stopped crying, and she reached up with her arm. Her arm was, we didn't lay hands on nothing. Her arm was perfectly fine. Of course, we went to her shoulder, went to get the X-ray, still went and did that because you wanted, you know, you wanted this wisdom. Amen. And everything was fine. Praise the Lord. But you know, this week I was dealing with something that's kind of a reoccurring thing that I've dealt with throughout my life. And I'm not going to go into details what it is because what it is doesn't matter because it was just something that that I deal with, an attack on my body. And it was something that over the years has reoccurred. Many times I've sought the Lord for healing, and it just hasn't ever manifested, and I've always given up on it. But you know, as I was dealing with this week, I was kind of mad about it. I'm like, I am not going down this road again. I just thought that in my mind, you know, and all of a sudden the Lord reminded me of that account when we were with my daughter, and he reminded me of what I did. And what I did was right. I started and said, I prayed to God. I asked him for the healing. But then after that, I didn't keep going back to him, asking him for the same thing. I praised him. And as I praised him, I realized that the Lord reminded me of that. As I praised him, that's when she was helped. So what I started doing, I started praising God. I started praising God. And you know what? Instantly, I didn't feel anything. A few minutes later, didn't feel anything. And just as I was thinking about it, I just kept cursing it in Jesus' name. I cursed it and just praised God for it. And just kept going on it. And something that usually when I was attacked with it would be several weeks, within a few days, is completely gone, disappeared. And like in the first couple, like the first day, the symptoms had gone almost completely away. But within a few days, completely gone. Why? Because God is healer. Hallelujah. And his word always works. Amen? Praise God. Praise God, hallelujah. Luke 17:11. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Praise the Lord. Then he entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Oh, there's so much in this. Jesus told them what to do. He didn't lay hands on them. He didn't spit on them this time. He didn't slap them in the head. He didn't kick them in the pants. He didn't do it. All he said this time was go. Why? Because he does what the Father says to do. Sometimes the Lord will have you do things that make no sense whatsoever. This is what I love about our God, is he doesn't do things the same way twice, and usually it won't make any sense. I'm going to tell you something right now. If God's going to have you move in faith, every time God has you move in faith, it looks like if you do it, the opposite will be true. Right. Amen? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. I could give you example after example after example, but anytime God has us, listen to what I'm saying. Every time God has us move out, step out in faith, it always looks like the opposite thing will happen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. The opposite. Every time God's going to take you up higher, praise the Lord. Every time he's going to take you into something more, it's going to be attacked. It's going to become, something's going to come against it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. John Elizabeth, for you. Praise the Lord. Just going to give you that. Hallelujah. I just, as I looked at you, I knew that. Praise the Lord. Every time God's going to take you higher, it's going to get attacked, but you stand in faith. You stand in faith because faith is what matters. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Every time, every time. Go and show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. They did something. They put action to the faith. They knew Jesus was healer. They knew he could, but what did they do? They put action with the faith. As they went, they could have said, well, why? How are we going to go show ourselves to the priests? You got to understand, lepers were not allowed to be around anybody. So the only way that they could be labeled cleansed was if they went and showed themselves to the priests. But most of the time, they had to be cleansed when they did that. And then the priest would let them go on and they could go back and live a normal life again. But see, Jesus just said, go see the priest. He didn't take it away. He said, go see the priest. Step out in faith. When it doesn't look like it, go. That's what he was saying. So they were going to the priest with the symptoms still on them. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. That's the truth. So they step out and go. And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned. And with a loud voice, glorified God. Oh my gosh. There's so much in this. And one of them, one of the ten. What was I talking about earlier? People that come to church, get their help from God, and then they disappear. Because it isn't real to them anymore. I'll tell you what, when a mother is dealing with a child who is sick, maybe something that's terminal, I'll tell you what, they will do anything. To get that baby healed, anything. It doesn't matter. A father would do the same thing. When you're in the place of absolute, I remember when I was in the place, the depths of absolute despair. I would do anything to get out of that. But do we forget about God afterwards? Most people do. Most people, they're like, well, I'm healed now. Now I got what I want. My marriage is fixed. Whatever. Now I'm going to go back to living the way I used to. Yeah, I know it was, you know, God did this for me. No, that's not the way it is. See, this one, a lot of people, they'll get blessed financially. They'll come to the church poor. They get blessed financially. God will do wonderful things in their finances. Then they'll walk away. They'll forget about his work. People do this stuff all the time. This is like church 101. This stuff happens all the time. This stuff has happened here. But dozens of times since we've been here. Yeah, people get fixed and gone. People get what they want, they're gone. Or they don't get what they want. Because they're not willing to do what they want, what they got to do, and they're gone. Oh, praise God. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face and at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So he wasn't even one that should have done it, but he did. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? God's own people. I've told you about this before. I remember I had a lady come to me. She knew I was a faithful Christian. She knew that I was somebody who would pray for people and stuff like this when I worked in the factory. And she came to me and she said to me, I didn't even know the scripture at the time, but she came to me and she said, you know, my uncle, he's real sick and he needs prayer for this or prayer for that. And I said, okay, I'll pray for him definitely. And she came to me. It was like a few weeks had gone by. I think I even went up to her and I said, hey, how's he doing? She's like, oh, he's much better now. He's much better now, you know, and that was praise the Lord. As I was walking away, the Spirit of God spoke on the inside of me and said, she never thanked me. Wow. Do you know how many people do that? They get what they wanted from God and they never even think to thank him. Yeah. Do you know what thanking is? Thanking isn't just saying, thank you, God. That's not just like if you spent a lot of time doing something somebody wanted. I mean, spouses, you know this. Yeah. You know, husbands, you screw up everything in life. Right? You do everything wrong. You could possibly do wrong. And that one day, you just give it a little bit extra. And you're just like, I'm gonna make the bed, praise the Lord. She come in, she don't even notice. Do you know what I'm... No, but I mean, seriously, you know what I mean? I'm not talking about my wife. She notices when the bed's made or not made. Hallelujah. That's my job. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's some days we don't get it done, but we try to, amen. But we aim for good. Hallelujah. I'm just not perfected yet. Hallelujah. But anyway, you know, people will, you know, if you gave everything for something to make a present and you present it to them, and they're just like, oh, okay. That's the way so many people are. Thanks, you know, just thanks. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done something real special for someone expecting that they were going to like, that they were just going to flip when you gave this to them or when you were going to do this? And they were just going to be like, woo, you're like the greatest thing since sliced bread, hallelujah. And you give it to them and you're like, you're waiting for the reaction, wait for it. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, thanks. Yeah. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah. Praise the Lord. God, that happens to God all the time. People are like, oh, thanks, God. Hallelujah. Thanks, God. Yeah, I know that you restored our life, but, you know, I mean, I got all this stuff to do, though. You know, there's all these things that I'm so busy, 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 busy. Busy, 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 busy. Yeah. Oh, God, I know that you healed me and stuff, but I'm going to still use my body for sin. Hallelujah. Lord, I know that you fixed this, but I'm still going to do what I want with it. It's because you don't care. Lord, I know that you bless me. I know that the Lord blessed me. I see people all the time. You see people, I want to know this. All these people, they're making millions of dollars a year, and they're out there talking about being Christians. I'm not judging. I'm just asking. I want to know what church they go to, and I want to know if they tithe. Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, some people have this idea that if you make $10 million a year and you tithe on that, which would be $1 million because it's 10%, that's a tithe, right? If you tithe on that $10 million and you gave $1 million, you think you did God a favor. But if somebody makes $10 and they tithe that $1, and then they give another dollar on top of it, they gave more in God's eyes than that person that gave that $1 million. You see how it works? People have this idea because if they make more. No, just because you make, the numbers don't matter to God. He could give a rip about the numbers. God doesn't care about the stinking numbers. Get that in your head. He doesn't care. Don't think because you did, the amount God looks at something is the amount of sacrifice it took to give it. If you sacrifice to give it, yeah, I mean sacrifice. Like, well, a lot of people don't like this word sacrifice, but this is exactly what we need to be looking at nowadays. What does it sacrifice you to do? Sacrifice is when you cut something off and you don't expect to get it back. Sacrifice is when you burn something that was wonderful. And it's something that meant something to you. I'm using metaphors. You know, I'm burning something. I'm not talking about burning stuff for God and stuff like that. You understand. But, please don't. Hallelujah. They got enough things against us now. But, you know, when we sacrifice to God, what does it cost you? Yeah, time is sacrifice. Sometimes you won't be able to do certain things. There's things that you will give up on this earth that you will never touch again while you're here. Yeah. Some of the things you'll love more than anything. Yeah. Well, why do you sacrifice it? Because God saved you. He saved your sorry butt. Hallelujah. Yeah, he took you out of the pit of hell. That's where you were going. God saved you. Jesus gave you away. Praise the Lord. Sometimes that's worth sacrifice. I'm not saying you're going to have to give up everything you love. I'm not saying that you can't have fun. Man, I got to close this out. Praise the Lord. So we see that, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. You know what you could surmise from this passage right here? The other nine, they all went and had the same thing fall back on them. Why? Because they didn't do the most basic things. They weren't thankful. We're going to close with this. 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. Just go ahead and look at it up here. This is what it says about Jesus, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, we had to die to sins, might live for righteousness. You have to die to your sins. You have to live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. People are looking for the healing of God instead of thanking him for it. God's healing was done 2,000 years ago. God's healing is who he is. God's healing is everything that encompasses him because God is the healer. Praise God. God wants us healed, and if we'll live in it, if we'll live in faith, if we'll work towards doing those things that God has said to do, God will bring that stuff upon us. Amen. He will bring that healing manifestation. If you haven't received it yet, then you just keep believing God for it. Praise the Lord. And you'll see it come to pass. Amen.